I get to this period of the year and I think about the transition between the season of Christmas and that sort of blank space in between. We're not quite in Christmas anymore. We're not quite to Lent anymore. We've just sort of got that, they call it regular time, or ordinary time, actually, is the technical term. I don't like ordinary time. I don't like the name ordinary time. As it happens, it doesn't mean exactly what we think it means. It doesn't mean boring time. Ordinary time comes from the fact that there are cardinal numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and ordinal numbers, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. And since we are in this period of time when we're going to be saying the first Sunday after Epiphany, the second Sunday after Epiphany, the third Sunday after Epiphany, we're in ordinary time. So it just means that we're using numbers that are ordinal, but it feels like ordinary. It feels like normal. After the beauty of Christmas and before the majesty of Easter, we just have this quiet. I wonder about quiet time. If we read the story of Jesus' birth and we read what was happening in the life of Christ, there are a lot of big holes that we can't really say what was going on. One of the things that we know is that while we all love a good manger scene and they're a fabulous addition to our Christmas observation, we do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the three wise men did not show up at the stable while Jesus was yet in the manger, because that's what the text tells us. The text tells us that it was a couple of years later that the wise men showed up, that they found Jesus in a home in Bethlehem. What happened during that ordinary time? What happened from the moment that the angels announced Christ's arrival, that the shepherds showed up to worship? Maybe there was a little drummer boy. I don't know. It's a good story. May or may not have anything to do with reality. What happened between the moment that the heavens opened up and the angels sang and the arrival of the three wise men? Ordinary time. Quiet time. Plain time. And I think in the midst of the holiday season, And so, I love the holiday season. And in my household, we go big. You know, that first Christmas tree, our first Christmas tree is technically a football tree because it's all football ornaments. So it goes up at the beginning of the football season because, you know, you should go ahead and put one up in September. Some we love so much they just stay up year-round and we just change their ornaments out. Like, oh, it's got summer ornaments, it's got fall ornaments, it's got, you know, Christmas ornaments. Most of them, and they get put up at various points over the month of November and over the month of December, and we put them up and we think, oh, those are too pretty to take back down. So we kind of let them hang out for a little while, you know. When my wife and I first got married, we let them hang out because we would say, well, you know, our birthdays are both in January, and we both love Christmas so much, we'll just leave them up until our birthdays. My wife's birthday is on the 25th, mine's on the 31st, so we just leave them up for a little extra while, you know? Then we say, well, you know, they're wintry, so it's still winter out. So we can leave them up while it's still wintry out, can't we? So, you know, we leave them up, stay a little longer, you know? There have been years that we've joked that maybe we just leave them until Easter and Lent gets here, you know? Just take up that ordinary time with some extra Christmas decoration. Because it is a beautiful thing, and it's marvelous to see the lovely lights and the decorations, the celebratory time. And we're not going to do it here at First Lutheran. We really are going to take the trees down and the wreaths down and the lights down after church today, because this is Epiphany Sunday. But I do believe that we miss something. We miss something in the quiet moments. We miss something in the quiet moments between one grand event and another grand event. Because Christmas is wonderful. And Epiphany is marvelous. And Lent will be great. And it's actually my favorite season of the year. Holy Week, Easter. But I want to pause for a moment and celebrate those 2 years in the life of Christ when it was just Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Making a life, having a home, serving God quietly, being a loving family, and just being still. There's something to be said for just being still. In most of our lives, we do sort of look at that as ordinary time, don't we? Those dates that we're marking between the one next big thing and the next big thing. Between the next catastrophe, the next tragedy, the next exciting event. We can find God in the exciting events very easily. We can find God in the celebration of Christmas. He's right there. We've got a baby Jesus in the manger. He's easy to find at Christmas time. We can find God in Lent as we sit and think, boy, what I wouldn't give for a candy bar right now. Or coffee or fast food or whatever it is you've given up for Lent. We can find God easily in Holy Week. We find him on the cross. And then we find him not in the tomb any longer. How do we find God in ordinary time? Where do we look for the presence of the Almighty when it's just a Tuesday? Because God is no less with us on the ordinary days. God is no less present when the Christmas trees come down. God is no less present when we're just us. In fact, I would argue that the better time to look for God's presence in our lives is in ordinary time, when God brings us those little blessings that we don't anticipate. Ava was singing about that just a few minutes ago. Can we find God in the blessings of a difficult day, a long night, a pile of dishes, floor that needs swept, bills that need paid? And I would actually go so far as to say that's where we need God's strength the most. Where we need to find our faith and say, I am doing this for the greater glory of God, and God is with me while I do it. Because anybody can decorate a Christmas tree and say, I'm doing this for the greater glory of God, and God is with me. It's much harder to clean your garage and say, I do this for the greater glory of God, and God is with me. And yet, there's no difference between those two events. God wants to be with us in our every moment. I had opportunity to be in a hospital room with someone praying a good many years ago. And they were undergoing what they considered a very minor and inconsequential procedure. And so I'd gone to the hospital to visit with them at the hospital. And they saw me come in and they said, oh, Pastor, you didn't have to come. This is no big deal. I said, I'm happy to be here. I just, you know, I'm always happy to come when I know. And we had a few moments of conversation, and I said, well, let's have a word of prayer. They said, I don't want to bother God. I'm sure he's got much more important things than me going on. And he doesn't. That's the reality. There is nothing on this planet more important to God in heaven than being with us. If that were not the case, he would not have come to have lived among us as a person. He would not have come to have ministered among us. He would not have come to have died on the cross in order that we might know that we are totally and completely forgiven and welcomed into God's presence to be beloved children. I mean, think how awful that would be. If our children looked at us and said, our parents really love us at Christmas time when they give us presents, but then they have absolutely no interest in us until Easter when we do our Easter baskets. Don't we love our children every moment? Isn't it those moments that we look at our kids doing just ordinary stuff that we think how great it is to be a parent and how much we love our kids? Ordinary time. There's not a moment when God is bothered by our prayers. There's not a moment when God is too busy to pay attention to us. There's not an inconsequential day for God to be engaged in a relationship with us and for us to be engaged in a relationship with God. Taking the time in the midst of ordinariness to encounter, to be shaped by, and to be touched by the immortal, all-powerful, loving God who's chosen to have a relationship with us is actually the bedrock of Christian faith. So yes, this is the end of the Christmas season. We will take down the lights and the decorations and the trees, and we'll be in ordinary time. But for those of us who have been called sons and daughters by God Almighty, ordinary time just means we're counting the days with ordinal numbers, not cardinal numbers, because there is no such thing as ordinary for the children of God. Because we are the people that God has chosen to dwell among, to strengthen, to keep, to love, to nurture, to forgive, to renew, to lift up, over and over again. So yeah, holidays are great. I love them. But let us not lose sight of the fact that we live in a celebration of God's presence every single day. And no matter what we face, no matter how mundane or how grand, God is there with us. Amen.